You have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. And it said, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Last Sunday, you remember that we focused in on the most favorite of all the Christmas carols, Joy to the World. Today, I want to focus in on one that is a close second, that is Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. The Christmas carols of the church have survived down through the years simply because they're packed with scriptural and doctrinal truths. Such was the case with Joy to the World, and such is the case with Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. In our day, doctrine is no longer held in high esteem, but let me remind all of you that are here today that you can't get to heaven without doctrine. You cannot get to heaven without the teachings of the Word of God. We had better start giving doctrine its proper place, the place that it deserves, or we will find ourselves in severe trouble. Let me say it again. We have faith that sings, and we have something to sing about. Gnosticism has nothing to sing about. The atheists have nothing to sing about, but Christianity has plenty to sing about. Now, the ACLU has complained that Christianity has Christmas, but the atheists have no holidays to celebrate. Well, the atheists don't need a holiday because they don't have anything to celebrate. But if the ACLU insists on having a holiday, I think I've got one in mind for them. It comes April the 1st of each year. I think that would be an appropriate holiday for them, don't you think? The well-known hymn writer Isaac Watts wrote Joy to the World, and we enjoyed giving you some history and facts about his life last week. Another famous hymn writer wrote Hark the Herald Angels Sing. His name was Charles Wesley. In fact, Charles Wesley was one of the most prolific hymn writers of all time. They say that he wrote some 6,500 hymns in his lifetime. I particularly like the hymn, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. The glories of our God and King, blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, Charles Wesley was one of 18 children who grew up in a godly home. His mother, Suzanne, was a godly woman who made a tremendous impact on her children. Charles and his brother John were the founders of the Methodist Church. Charles was educated at Oxford University, and while he was there, he helped to form the quote-unquote the Holy Club, which in essence was a Christian fellowship whereby the members held one another accountable for their daily conduct and their discipline. This group dedicated themselves, if you will, to holy living and daily followed the teachings of God's Word as closely as possible. And I thought, well, all Christians ought to be a member of the Holy Club. All of us ought to be holy because the Bible said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." Our God is a holy God. I want us to look at Wesley's Christmas song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He wrote it in 1739. The original title was A Hymn for Christmas Day. It was 101 years later, in 1840, that music was finally put to the song. The music was written by Felix Mendelssohn, and there's something quite interesting here. Mendelssohn wrote the music to Hark the Herald Angels Sing in honor of John Gutenberg, who had invented the printing press. And you may recall that the first book that was printed on the Gutenberg printing press was the Bible, the Word of God. Well, let's look to this hymn. It first of all speaks of God's heavenly announcement. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Now, the word hark is not a biblical term. The word simply means listen up, lend an ear. The story is told of a little boy who had a part in the church Christmas play, and he was supposed to begin by saying, hark. But at the last minute, the word escaped his mind, but he knew what it meant, so he said this, hey, everybody, listen up. I've got some great news. And that's what the angels did that first Christmas night. They brought some great news to the earth. Angels now are prominent in the scriptures. An angel appeared to Mary and told her that she had been highly favored by God and that she was going to give birth to the very Son of God. An angel appeared to Joseph and told him not to be embarrassed, but to go ahead and take Mary to be his wife. The child that she was to have was of the Holy Ghost. After the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness by Satan, angels came and ministered unto him. And at the tomb where they laid the crucified body of Jesus, an angel came from heaven early in the morning on the third day and rolled away the stone. Not to let Jesus out, that was not the point. It was to let others see in. At the ascension of our Lord, two angels appeared to the disciples and assured them that this same Jesus that they see ascending into heaven, that he was going to return again in like manner as they had seen him go. And oh yes, the time will come when Jesus Christ will split the eastern sky and the voice of the archangel will sound out as the trump of God blows. Time will be no more. What an incredible moment this must have been when the angels made the heavenly announcements to the shepherds that night. All that night, God invaded this old world in which we live, and this world has never and will never be the same as a result of his coming on that first Christmas day. Charles Wesley invites us to join the triumph of the skies and with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Well, the first stanza speaks of God's heavenly announcement. Stanza two speaks of God's human appearance. Mr. Wesley pointed out three doctrinal truths about his human appearance. First, he is the Christ. He is the everlasting Lord who is adored by all in heaven. Now, this speaks of his deity. In the beginning, and it was not in Bethlehem stable, for the Bible said he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the eternal God who came down from heaven to live with us. Wesley said, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. The prophet Isaiah said, Emmanuel simply means God with us. He has come down to live among his people. Oh, what a blessing. The second stanza, Wesley speaks about his purity. It says in line two, late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Some say, Carl, What difference does it make whether Mary was a virgin or not? Well, it makes all the difference. The prophet Isaiah said 700 years before his coming, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel," or God with us. Jesus was born of a virgin who was sexually pure. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God and not by man. Had he been conceived by Joseph or any other man, he would have inherited the sinful nature of mankind. Therefore, he would have been just like you and me, just a man with a sinful nature. But that was not the case. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary, and he is none other than the pure and sinless, spotless Son of God. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us this morning. Then, thirdly, the second stanza speaks of not only his deity and his purity, but it talks about his humanity. Verse, line 3 says, "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see." Or to say it another way, when we see Bethlehem's babe, we see the Godhead wrapped in human flesh. Yes, he was deity, but the Bible said he became humanity so that he could come and live among us and die for us on the cross of Calvary. But he did not take on humanity at the expense of his deity. He was both. He was truly God. And he was truly man all at the same time. While here on earth, he was the incarnate Christ. Well, the first stanza speaks of God's heavenly announcement. The second speaks of God's human appearance. The third and fourth stanza speaks of God's holy ambition. Oh, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings, mild he lay his glory by, born that man no more to die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the new born king. What is it that God desires of you and me this morning in light of Bethlehem's babe, who is none other than God's gift of love to the world? So what should our response be this morning? How should we react? Charles Wesley tells us two things that we can do in this last stanza. We can hail this heaven-born Prince of Peace, the Son of Righteousness. We can salute him. We can give honor and glory to him, the honor and glory that he deserves. He came to give light and life to all. He came to raise us up to a higher plane of life. He came to give us a second birth, a birth from above. Secondly, we can invite him to fix in us his humble home. All you know, the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. When we become a child of God and the Lord forgives us of our sins and cleans up this old home, the Holy Spirit then comes to set up residence and home in our own hearts and lives, to where that wherever we go, God is with us. He is Emmanuel, and he is with us this morning. We can permit him to bruise in us the serpent's head by turning from our sins, and remove from us all that is like Adam, that his image, the image of God, might be stamped in our life. And then we can permit him to reinstate us in his love. that we can unselfishly reach out and be His hands extended to a lost and dying world. If the world needs anything this morning, it is the great gift of heaven that God sent down in the fullness of time in order to make atonement for the sins of all the world. All we've got to do to receive this beautiful, wonderful, amazing gift is to say, Lord Jesus, cleanse me of my sins. Come into my life today and be my Savior and Lord, and He will wash your sins away in the blood that He shed on Calvary's day. All the angels gave glory to the newborn king. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. The shepherds gave glory to this newborn king, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So the angels gave glory. The shepherds gave glory. Let us also give glory this morning to the newborn king. This newborn king is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our mediator between God and man. He is our intercessor that stands by the right hand of the throne of God, interceding on our behalf. God is with us. He is our Emmanuel. He is our soon coming King. So let us proclaim from our hearts this morning what the saints in heaven will also proclaim one day. Lord, You are worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings forever and forever and forever. He is the great gift that God sent to us on Christmas Day 2,000 years ago. Aren't you glad this morning that you have a Savior who loves you? Amen. He loves you. And if you call out to Him, if you haven't already, you can receive the greatest gift of all. He won't force you to take it. He won't beat you over the head with it. He'll just simply say, come, all you that labor and are heavy laden in sin, I will give you rest. He'll do that this morning if you haven't already received Him. Receive that beautiful, wonderful gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord this morning. Let's bow for prayer.